Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to be in the house of God today in the land of the living. As if you were here during first service, you heard my wife testify that we almost got in a car accident on our way here to church, and that it truly was remarkable. I was just driving down the street, and there was a car that was coming this way. He was turning, and he was taking a really long time to turn. I was wondering, what's going on with this guy? And he started to turn, and then another car from the opposite street just came, whizzing by, almost hitting the guy. And the reason why the guy was taking a long time to turn, because there was another man that was crossing the street. And if it wasn't for the man crossing the street and the car going slow, I'd have been at that intersection at that exact time and could have been in a car accident. I wouldn't be preaching to you today. It is just nothing but God. Nothing but God. I thank him for his protection even when I'm unaware of it. I thank him. He's such an amazing God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I'm going to try my best to be brief. And this, I know people are laughing, like, he's never brief. With men, this is impossible. But with God, with God, all things are possible. Again, I'm also very grateful for today being the first day back at Rehoboth with my wife and my new daughter, and we're very glad to have them back. So grateful for them being in the house of God with us today and for his provision and all that he has done. When you get to James chapter 4, verse 6, say amen. Amen. James 4, 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I want to read verse 7 again, which will be primarily where I'll be taking my thought. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Today, I want to preach to a message simply entitled, Your Mission is Submission. Your mission is submission. And I'm going to just ask the Lord to do this thing. I don't know what's going to happen with this thing. Don't have a clue. Just going to trust God that he's going to do it. I can't do anything anyway. It's only the Lord that can do it. But let us ready our hearts and our minds to receive the word of God today. Heavenly Father, right now we worship you. We position ourselves, God, to make ourselves receptive to your word. And God, to put us in a place where you can bless your people, where souls can be saved, where people can be delivered. We speak in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God even arrest the hearts and minds and ears, O God of my listeners, that they might, O Lord Jesus, be changed and transformed and have a relationship with you. May the Spirit of conviction grip this church. May the Spirit, O God of deliverance, rain down upon us, O God, to set us free from the bondage of the enemy, that we might walk in victory. Have your way in this place. We love you. We bless your name. We glorify you for all that you are. We give you all the thanks and the honor. And in Jesus' name, let the church living God say, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about submission. And submission is a word that we often associate with defeat. That if we're submitting, that means we've lost. We're surrendering. It's a very interesting concept that the Bible calls us to this idea to submit. From the biblical perspective, that's contrary. That submission is actually one of the greatest weapons that a Christian can wield against an enemy. And one of the best examples of how submission can be used as a weapon, just looking in the natural, is a martial art form. It's called judo. And it's a very interesting art form because it doesn't necessarily use a lot of force or strength or power to defeat an opponent. That the martial art of judo uses the principle of what's called gentleness. Isn't that something? That I can beat up somebody gently. They must have been listening to the Fugees because someone was killing them softly with his song or something. I don't know. But beating someone up gently. They use gentleness, not necessarily force, to overcome an opponent. In short, resisting a more powerful opponent will result in your defeat, whilst adjusting to and evading your opponent's attack will cause him to lose his balance. His power will be reduced, and you will defeat him. The contestant does not act against the force applied by the opponent, but while following it, he makes use of the force and tries to break the opponent's posture. In a sense, it's like the opponent is fighting against himself. So if someone went to push me or put a force on me, instead of me resisting it or trying not to fall, I would move back. And so that the individual would overextend and they would get off balance, and then I would just allow them to keep flowing that direction until they get off balance, and I can flip them over and manipulate them any way I want. The whole art form is about gentleness, not about necessarily being rough with the person, but just allowing the force of your opponent to actually do all the work. Submission is the weapon that's wielded in it in order to defeat an opponent. It's a very interesting concept. So someone throws a punch, I don't necessarily try to block it or resist it. I just kind of redirect the energy that it causes them to get off balance. The whole thing is about getting your opponent off balance, about getting them in the wrong posture where their center of gravity is off kilter and it causes them to stumble, and they're actually fighting themselves. They're using their own force, their own power, their own efforts to actually topple themselves, in a sense. It's all redirection. Now, what's interesting is that Jesus was way ahead of all this whole thing about judo, about redirection, about using gentleness to overcome an adversary. We look in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil. Notice the language here. That ye resist not evil. That it's not me resisting, but it's actually me submitting. That submission can be used as a weapon to overthrow an enemy. He says that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him take thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now that's Bible, that's Christianity 101. Sadly to say, the majority of the body of Christ is not practicing judo. Instead, we resist, we buck, and we fight, and we try to get in our flesh in order to overcome the adversary, and we're fighting opponents that are bigger, that are stronger, that are meaner than us, and we're getting our butts kicked. When Jesus said, that is not how you fight against this adversary, you've got to use gentleness. Romans 12, verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in do so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The enemy expects you to resist. The enemy expects to get a rise out of you. The enemy expects you to lose your temper. The enemy expects you to get in your flesh. But if you operate by spiritual judo and you fight him with gentleness and meekness and humility, when he throws a punch at you, you can get him off balance because they're not expecting that type of response. I want to throw the enemy off balance. He thinks he can get the best of me by coming at me with hell and high water. I want to serve him. Notice today that you have no control over me. That the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. We need to learn how to use spiritual judo. Quit getting an attitude and getting all upset and angry. Calm yourself down. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. This battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Submission. It takes more power to not punch somebody out than it does to punch someone out. More strength to use restraint instead of losing one's temper and losing control. It takes an immense amount of power to restrain and to discipline oneself with temperance and self-control. Now, here's the thing. Satan used judo too. Satan uses spiritual judo as well against the believer. by complying with the forces of our efforts and redirecting them elsewhere to throw us off balance. That you're going to try and fight the enemy. And you're throwing your efforts into something that God has not ordained. And when he does not respond in the way that you want him to respond, you get thrown off balance and then you get thrown over. Spiritual judo. The whole thing is, if I can take away your ability to balance yourself, then I can manipulate you, control you any way I wish, and I can throw you on the floor without hardly any effort. Without hardly using much force or strength. I don't even have to be a big guy. This martial art technique was used for a small guy to beat a big guy. The big guy's throwing as hard as he can. I can just redirect his strength and energy back to him and cause him to flip over and get him off balance. And Satan does the same to us. I want to talk to you about Satan's spiritual judo. Number one, he uses entanglements of the things of this life to get us off balance. One of the worst things you can do in a fight is to overcommit yourself. Is to throw a punch and put everything into without any ability to recover if the person evades the attack or counterattacks. And one of the weapons of the enemy, what he does to get us off balance, is he gets us to invest ourselves, overcommit ourselves in things that we shouldn't, and then he can counterattack and throw us off balance. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You overcommit yourself to your job. You overcommit yourself to your career, to your dream. You overextend yourself. Well, no, now you no longer have any time to read the word. You no longer have any time to get in prayer. You have no longer any time to get into the spirit and come to church. And so you overextend yourself. And now you're off balance when a calamity comes your way. You've got no word in you to keep you grounded and rooted so that you cannot be moved by the attacks of the enemy. You need to practice spiritual balance and not overcommit yourself. Quit getting yourself involved in everybody else's business. Mind your own business. Handle your own. Take the beam out of your own eye. Handle your own business, because you're going to overextend yourself, overcommit yourself, and fall down flat on your face. You keep wondering, why do I keep making out with the floor? Because you keep getting in other people's business. You keep entangling yourself, getting yourself wrapped up, tied up in mess, stuff you have no business having any dealings with whatsoever. The Bible said that we're soldiers. We're in a war. We're in a fight for our salvation, for our eternity, and for the eternities of those around us. And the fact of the matter is that the Christian church has forgotten that we are soldiers and that we have an adversary to overcome, that we have a city to win, we have souls to take away from the pits of hell. And because of that, we are not fulfilling our commission, the Great Commission, which is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, we are entangled, we are ensnared in foolishness. On Facebook, scrolling and trolling and brown nosing, trying to find out what his old girl doing over here, what he doing over there. Spiritual judo. Overextending yourself, losing your balance, losing your center of gravity. Number two, the second principle that Satan uses in his spiritual judo is to compromise one's integrity. Let me tell you something. I saw this on a church sign. I thought it was brilliant. It said, you can't defeat your demons if you're still enjoying their company. That wasn't me who said that. I thought, man, can I repeat that again? You can't defeat your demons if you're still enjoying their company. You're not going to get over your addiction as long as you enjoy it. Just the truth. I want you to understand something, that the people of God, the shield of faith that God has given us, has given it to quench all of the fiery darts of the enemy. We have a defense that is impregnable, that the enemy cannot penetrate. His weapons are useless and effective against a child of God rightly dividing the word of truth and operating by the Spirit. So what he has to do is he has to use spiritual judo, and he has to get us to compromise ourselves. He can't hit us. He can't touch us. So what does he do? He gets us to compromise ourselves. A good example of this, the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land. And the king of Midian, his name was Balak, he realized that he could not defeat the God of the Israelites. He could not defeat the children of Israel. So he called a prophet named Balaam. And whoever Balaam blessed was blessed. Whoever he cursed was cursed. And he said, Balaam, I'll pay you anything. I'll give you anything you want. Just curse these people because I cannot beat them because they're mightier than I am. And when Balaam, every time he tried to curse Israel, instead he ended up blessing Israel. And he said, you cannot curse what God has blessed. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 17, that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, says the Lord. He cannot touch you. So instead, he's got to use spiritual judo. He's got to get you to curse yourself. So what Balaam did, Balaam advised Midian. He said, okay, I got an idea. You can't beat him. Why don't you join him? Infiltrate them. So what he did is he got the Midianites' women to go and seduce the men in the Israelites' camp. And when they did that, the Israelites started worshiping the Midian's gods. And they made a league with them. And they literally cursed themselves and incurred the very wrath and anger of God upon themselves. Satan could not touch the Israelites. Satan could not curse them. Balak could not curse them. Balaam could do nothing. But instead he got Israel to curse itself. And that is exactly what the devil does to us. He cannot touch us. So instead, he gets us to mess our own fool self up. He gets us to mess, to make choices and decisions that we have no business making. And we compromise our spiritual integrity. And we start falling into temptation. We start falling into sin. We start falling into addiction. Why? Not because he did, because we chose it. Because you opened the door. You let the devil inside of your life. You chose to be with that person. You chose to smoke that and to hit that. You chose to be with that. You chose it. Quit blaming everybody else around you and playing the victim's card. You chose it. You chose it. And you curse your own fool self. Spiritual judo. And now you got involved in sin. Now you're off balance. Jesus is no longer the center of your joy. Instead, some substance that's rolled up in a joint is the center of your joy. That cute looking honey that's at the club is the center of your joy. That man with the nice booty, he's the center of your joy. Whoever it is, everything that you can think of, that becomes the center of your joy. And because you have no center of gravity, you are thrown off balance. Number three. Spiritual judo. The third tactic that the enemy does is that he uses division amongst allies. Divide and conquer. I thought that it was interesting. This movie came out a few years ago. I think it was like 2016. Was Captain America: Civil War. It's a superhero movie. And in the story of that particular movie, the heroes started fighting against themselves. There was a villain that was in the movie, and he was a weak like nobody. He had no superpowers, had no guns, had nothing. And he realized, they're way too powerful for me, so I'll just get them to fight themselves. The character in the movie said this: an empire toppled by its enemies can rise again, but one that crumbles from within, that's dead. If it's an outside enemy, I can deal with that. But if it's my brother sitting next to me, if it's my sister sitting next to me, I'll crumble from the inside out. The Roman Empire, which was one of the greatest empires in world history, was not defeated by an outside enemy. No army could conquer it. It imploded from the inside, from corruption and all sorts of other foolishness. And that's exactly what the devil is doing to the church. I see it. I see the spirit of discord. I see the spirit of division that is creeping itself into this body. And we need to nip it in the bud. And start realizing that you're not my enemy. My enemy is the devil. The deacon in the church is not my enemy. My enemy is the prince of darkness. It's all misdirection. Jesus said it first. He said in Matthew 12, verse 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now I want to give you like a little bit of a revelation here. I tell you why. Why there is division in the church. Why there is discord. Why we're fighting amongst each other. Why we're gossiping about each other. Why we're trying to undermine each other. Why we're hating on one another. Why we're holding a grudge and got church hurt. Why we got all that nonsense. I tell you why. Now I want to go back to my scripture text. Go to James chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. We're going to start at verse number 1 this time. James chapter 4, verse number 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? The reason why we got trouble in the church, because we got trouble in here. And your business starts seeping out and leaking out into the church. Oh, I'm going to leave this church. There's too much drama here. You're the cause of the drama. And then you go to another church and you're playing church hopscotch. Playing church hopscotch thinking, I can get away from the trouble. You're the one lighting the match. You're the one lighting the fire. Why is there drama everywhere I go? Because you're bringing it with you. Can I just keep it real? The reason why we got division in the church, because we got division in our heart. We got division in our spirit. We got an unclean heart full of lust, full of desires that are contrary to the word of the living God. He says, the reason why you're fighting, because you're angry at yourself. You're mad at yourself. And you're bringing that drama into the church. I tell you what, God's going to deal with you, because there are seven things that God hates. And one of those things is he that soweth discord among the brethren. Verse number 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You scheme, you get schematics and drawings, and you plot and you do everything you can to get this dream, to get whatever this is, and you invest yourself and overextend yourself, and then you fall flat on your face. He goes on to say, ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You go through unauthorized channels to try and get what you want to satisfy your soul, when there's nothing that can fill the God-shaped hole inside of your soul except God himself. You don't have because you don't go to God for it. You try to do it in your flesh and it blows up in your face. Then in verse 3 he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. You ask God for something. You go to God and pray and you fasten and you say, I pay my tithes and I'm faithful in attendance and I got my sticker on my attendance board. I've done all this stuff to try and get God's blessing. And God said, you're asking amiss. In other words, you're asking with wrong motives. You just want to consume it on your own lust. You just want to pat yourself on the back. You want to put yourself on a pedestal. You got your own agenda. You've got your own plan. Your plan is not of God. It's not to edify the kingdom. It's not to reach anybody with the loss. If you ain't trying to win souls, put the mic down. Don't sing no more. Don't play no more. Don't usher no more. Don't do anything like that anymore. Because God is looking for somebody that's real. Hidden agendas and hidden schemes and plans coming to church, trying to get off on something. It ain't going to happen in the house of God. God sees you. You may be able to fool me. You may be able to fool pastor, but be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enemy of God? I was telling the class just in the first service, the Greek word there for enemy is milos. It means the best friend of the groom. That you're the best friend of the groom. If the world was getting married, you would be his best friend. And the job of the milos was to go and invite other people to come to his wedding and get married with him. The Bible says if you're the best friend of the groom of the world, that you have made yourself public enemy number one of God. Now, that's a scary thing, to be the enemy of the state. But can you imagine being the enemy of God? The enemy of someone who sees all and knows all and can do all. But when you make yourself a bedfellow of the world, when you align yourself with this world's ideologies and philosophies, you are making yourself an enemy of God. Praise God. Verse 5, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Now, when we finally do realize who our true enemy is, because all this stuff is misdirection. It's all misdirection. We're entangling ourselves with stuff we shouldn't do. We're getting involved in sin, and then we're fighting each other. I heard it said there's a statistic about the army that someone in the army, they can put them in an active combat situation for about 21 days. 21 days straight, they can fight. After that, they have to take them off the field. But a soldier can only take 2 weeks of R&R, of just resting. They prefer them to fight more. The soldiers prefer to fight more. And what they discovered, the army discovered, is that whenever during those 2 weeks of R&R when they're resting, because they're a soldier and it's in their blood to fight something and there's not a common enemy, they start fighting each other. When the people of God have nothing to do, when they're not active on the battlefield, evangelizing, praying for folk, teaching Bible studies, they want to fight somebody because God called you to be in the army. And since you're on R&R and you're resting and relaxing, well, I might start drumming with old dude over here. The thing is this. When we finally stop jumping through hoops, we realize the devil is my enemy. The devil is my enemy, not my brother, not my sister, not my boss who's getting on my case, not the dude who flipped me off in traffic, not my crazy relatives, not my friend that's betraying me and lying on me, borrows money and never pays me back. No, I'm just... Love your enemies, folks. No, the devil is our enemy. We got to remember that. The devil's our enemy, not anyone in this room, not any human being. One of the mistakes, I'm probably meddling here, but one of the mistakes of the evangelical church is that they think that their enemy is a Democrat. And on the other side, some people think their enemy is the Republican. When it's neither, it's the devil. If we could just remember that, hit the devil, shoot the devil, go after the devil. If we could just keep that in our heads, it's the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. If we could just keep that in our minds, who we're fighting. And the thing is, when we finally wake up and say, oh, it's the devil that's doing it. The devil is the one that's distracting me with entanglements. And I chose it. I let him do it. It's the devil that's getting me he's tempting me to sin, and I'm allowing him to do that. It's the devil that's stirring up discord and division in the church and trying to get me to fight my brother. When we finally start to go after him, because of all that mess that we were doing, we are going to lose because we're so off balance. We're so off balance with all that junk. When we finally try to throw a punch and fight the devil, he could easily just trip us up. Here's the one other thing. When I was in prayer a few weeks ago regarding this message, the Lord told me that the church needs to walk in victory. And that the reason why the church is not walking in victory is because they are not submitted unto him. Not really. We say that we are. And so then you realize, oh, the devil has got me. The devil has got me this addiction. The devil's got me this trouble in my life. And you start to finally go after him. But then you do it in the flesh, and then you fall over. Because if before you can fight the devil, you first have to ground yourself. You cannot fight against the enemy if you're off balance. You've got to get your life in order first before you go and attack the enemy. And you're like the seven sons of Sceva going to go cast the devil out, and you ain't even got the Holy Ghost. You're trying to preach a sermon, you ain't even baptized yet. And because of that, the devil is beating you down and you're getting discouraged. I keep losing. I keep losing. Here are some examples of this. In 1 Samuel, during this part in the time of Israel, there was the high priest, his name was Eli, and he had two sons by the name of Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were stealing from the sacrifices at the altar, of the burnt altar, number one. And two, they were seducing women right in the tabernacle. They would find women that were gathered at the tabernacle and go and sleep with them. And then the enemy came, the Philistines came to fight against the children of Israel. The children of Israel lost because the people in leadership were doing nonsense. So then they say, hey, how about we go get the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God. Let's take the Ark of the Covenant with me to go and to fight against the Philistines. 1 Samuel 4, verse 10. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a great, very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the Ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. They thought, oh, because I'm a priest, because I'm anointed, because I've got the Ark of God with me, I can do foolishness and then go and engage the enemy. You'll get your butt kicked. You think that you can fight the enemy when you're not consecrated, when you're not sanctified, when you're not holy? The devil will use judo on you, throw you off balance, and you'll be lost. He'll be stomping all over your face, laughing at you. When you try to fight your addiction, fight your issue, fight your pain in your flesh, when you've not consecrated yourself to God, you've not submitted yourself unto God. They lost. They thought, I've got the presence of God with me. I'm anointed. I can do sin, and I can still fight the enemy and win. No, you can't. The devil's pulled an okey-doke on you. Now, here's another example. This one, I think, is kind of funny and sad at the same time. So, look, go to Numbers 14. We'll look at verse 40. Now, in Numbers 13, the children of Israel sent 12 spies to go spy out the land, to see the promised land. And you all know the story. 10 of them brought back an evil report. And in Numbers 14, the beginning of the chapter, says that they wept all night because they heard there were giants in the land. They didn't fight anybody. There's giants in the land? And they're about to stone Moses and Aaron. And God's like, dude, like, what's up? Like, I parted the Red Sea, and I rained hail from the sky, I rained bread from the sky. I mean, and you guys can't trust me? So God got mad and said, okay, that's the way you want it. You won't go in the promised land. Y'all die in the wilderness. And when God told them the consequences of their unbelief, look what happens here. Numbers 14, verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here. And we'll go up and unto the place which the Lord hath promised. For we have sinned. They said, okay, we messed up, God. We're going to go get the promised land. We sinned, we didn't believe you, but we're now going to go get the promised land. We'll fight the giants. Look at verse 41 says, and Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Verse 44, but they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. God told him, look, I'm not going to be with you. If you go there, you're going to get killed. And they said, we'll go through it anyway. We don't care if God's with me. I want to go and get this anyway. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. The prophet stayed. The glory of God stayed. And they went out there knowing there was no anointing on it. Knowing there was no glory with them. Knowing God was not on their side. And they said, we're going to go do it because we think we can get it. Even though we have sinned. Even though we've not repented. We think we can still go possess the promise of God. No, you will not. Said your heart's not right. Need to repent and show some gravity regarding the situation. Get a broken spirit and a contrite heart. There are consequences to when you don't obey God. And they presume, the Bible says, to go up. They pursue. Verse 45. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill and smote them and discomfited them even unto Horma. Just beat the mess out of them. You keep trying to fight the devil in your flesh when you've not submitted yourself. And every time you try to live right and try to live holy, Satan's doing spiritual judo on you. You're falling all over the place. Now, I don't know what's more dangerous. When you think God is with you and he isn't, or when you know that he isn't with you and you just don't care. That's what we have here in these two stories. Hophni and Phinehas thought, God is with me. They were deceived by their own sin. The children of Israel didn't care if God was with them. And those are two groups of folks that are in this room right now. Some of y'all know that you're doing wrong. And you don't care. And you're going to get defeated. Some of you are so blinded by your sin that you don't even realize that God's not with you in this. And you need to exercise some spiritual discernment and seek God first to see if God is really in this. Because if he is not in this, it's going to fail. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, it's in they that labor in vain. You are setting yourself up for failure. Now, the solution to all of the attacks of the enemy is submission. Submission will counteract entanglements. Submission will counteract sin in your life. Submission will counteract fighting amongst ourselves. The thing is, it's harder to flip somebody in judo if they have a very good low center of gravity. If they have a very good low center of gravity, you can manipulate them all you want. They won't flip. And what's interesting is, I want you to look in James chapter 4, verse 6, my main text. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The word there in the Greek is tapianos, which means a low degree, humble, base, cast down of low estate. It means not rising far from the ground. In other words, getting a low self center of gravity. If I'm low to the ground, you can't flip me. If I'm humble and I submit myself to God, when the devil tries to flip me, he can't because I'm so well balanced. The reason why the devil keeps tripping you up is because you're too arrogant. You're too prideful. You've got a high center of gravity. So the devil can easily manipulate you and flip you over and slam you about because you're not humble. And that's why the Bible says to submit yourselves therefore unto God. Then resist the devil. If you're submitted unto God, you will not chase after nonsense and get entangled with the things of this world because you're seeking God first. I want God's will to be done, and I want to remove every competitor, everything that would try to entangle me or wrap me up or prevent me from doing God's will. Submission is the answer to entanglement. Submission to God is the answer to sin. If you would humble yourself and quit trying to be righteous in yourself and submit yourself to God and say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, renew a right spirit within me, that would solve the sin problem. Because God giveth more grace. More grace to the humble. He gives more low center of gravity. He gives more stability to the person who is humble and trusts in God, who does not trust in chariots, who does not trust in the things of man, but puts his trust in the everlasting arms, leaning on the promises of God. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm humble. Your mission is submission. Now, what's interesting here, the Greek word for submit in James 4, verse 6, is hupotasso, which is a military term, which means to arrange a troop of divisions in a military fashion under the command of a leader. In other words, whenever the scripture says submit yourselves therefore to God, it's a military term. So if a commanding officer walked in, he would use this word to say, troops, fall in line and be ready to fight. Get yourself in a position to go into battle. To fall under the commander of the command of a leader. And one of the things here, the difference between an army and a mob is one is under a commander that organizes it, while a mob is just chaotic and just doing whatever they want. And the reason why the army of God is losing is because we've become the mob of God. With dysfunction and nonsense, fighting each other, following our own whims, not following the pastor, not in the word, not seeking God's will through prayer. And because of that, we're a mob just burning down the town. Turning over cars. I'm upset. I'm angry. You're coming in, turning over pews and fighting your brother and fighting your sister. We become a mob because we've not hupotasso. We've not submitted under the commander of a leader. A military leader. God is called Jehovah Sabaoth, the commander of heaven's armies. He's called the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. But instead of listening to our commanding officer, we'd rather go rogue, go AWOL, and wander in the woods and just do whatever we want. And then we wonder why we're losing. Your mission is submission. Your mission is submission. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit, hupotasso, yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. There's your gossip problem. There's your drama problem in the church. If we would just be subject one to another. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know what the word is for someone who doesn't humble themselves and is forced to be humbled? It's called humiliation. If I force you to humble you, for you to be humble, you've just been humiliated. You know, the guy, he's on the basketball court, I can beat anybody, and then he gets his ankles broken. He gets crossed and dunked on. He's just been humiliated. And sad to say, if y'all don't humble yourselves, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. God's going to humble you for you. And when it happens, you're going to experience humiliation. And it's going to scathe you. It's going to skin you alive. It's going to put you through pain and through a vice like you've never been through before because you will not heed and listen to the word of the Lord. And if he doesn't do it, life will. It's the hard not life for us, folks. Life will teach you who's the boss. Life will teach you. It will show you how tough you are. Oh, you're real tough. You're strong. You big guy. You can handle it. I can do whatever I want and get away from it. Get away with it. Just wait. You'll end up either in the grave or a jail cell. He says to humble yourself, clothe yourself with humility. Verse 6 of 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. One of the reasons why you're getting tripped up is because you're carrying too much weight. People that are overweight, their center of gravity is not balanced. And they can lose their balance very easily, can't shift their weight very easily because there's so much they're carrying. And there's so much spiritual weight you're carrying that when you're trying to adjust to another calamity or to another problem, you're tripping over. You can't adjust. You can't maneuver very well because you're carrying something that you should not be carrying. And if you would humble yourself, the Bible says, casting all your care upon he who cares for you. God is better than Jenny Craig. He's better than liposuction. He wants to take all the spiritual fat and grease out of your body, out of your spirit. Now notice this. We have this humbling thing. God has given you more grace, more grace, more stability, more ability to maneuver. Verse 8. Now notice what it says next. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I put too much stuff in this message. Two more verses, then I'll quit. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And that word lowly is tapinos, the same word that's used in James 4. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If the yoke you're carrying is too heavy, there are two reasons why it is. One, it's the wrong yoke. You're carrying something you shouldn't be carrying. Or two, you're trying to carry the right yoke, but alone. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, I can't be righteous enough myself. The Old Testament proved that a man cannot be righteous by just trying to follow all the laws by himself. If I try to carry that yoke on my own, I'm going to fall. But if I get yoked with the helper, with the Holy Spirit, righteousness becomes easy. And the Bible says you will find rest unto your souls. The reason why you've not found rest yet, because you have not allowed Jesus to carry it, or you're carrying something that you have no business carrying. Let go of your hurt. Let go of your betrayal. Let go of your bitterness. Let go of your past. That is a yoke of bondage that the devil is using to manipulate you and to trip you up. Let it go and take on the yoke of Christ, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The thing is, if we're going to see victory, church, whatever it is you're battling, I don't know who this is for, whatever you're battling, the reason why you're not winning is because you are not submitted. Your mission is submission. And because you have not fully given control over to God, you have not arrayed yourself in line with the military of God, you're out of order, you're AWOL, you're not following the commandments of your officer, the devil is able to pick you off. Will you finally submit unto him? My last verse, James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's spiritual Judah right there. Unstable. Double-minded. You've not yet fully committed yourself to Christ. You're still playing hokey pokey with God. Putting your foot into the world and sliding and putting it back into the church. And doing the hokey pokey and saying that's what it's all about. And God says you're unstable in all your ways. The same thing that Elijah said to the children of Israel, I say unto you, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. If your money is God, serve your money. If your boss is your God, serve your boss. But quit playing double-mindedness with God, because you're unstable in all of your ways. You're unstable, and that's why you keep falling. The Bible then goes on to say in verse 9, let the brother of low degree, tapaneos degree, rejoice in that he is exalted. The person that's low to the ground, the person that's humbled himself, the person that surrendered and say, Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, I withhold nothing, I give myself to you, is the person that has a low center of gravity. And when the rain and the waves come to build to hit your house, you won't be knocked over, because you built house on on the rock because you've done what the word of God says. Your feet are planted on that solid rock called Jesus. Stop being double-minded. Stop jumping from stone to stone. Stop vacillating and varying from church to church, from doctrine to doctrine, from relationship to relationship. Commit yourselves to God. Quit being arrogant and trying to play the field. Quit being arrogant and prideful, trying to do it your own way. You're going to blow yourself up. You need to submit yourself to God. You need to surrender yourself to God. And then you can resist the enemy and overcome him. I tell you today that if the church would get back to fasting and get back to praying and get back in the word and get submitted unto the Holy Spirit, we could defeat any adversary. They'll come one way, but go 10 ways the other way, because I'm the head and not the tail, because I am the victor and not the victim, because I'm in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you would submit yourself unto God, then you could resist the devil and he would flee from you. Come on, somebody. Get out of your ego. Get out of your arrogance. Get low to the ground. If you want to go up, you've got to get down. Who wants to get down with me in the house tonight? Who wants to get down with me in the house tonight? No, I'm not partying. No, I'm not talking about drinking. No, I'm not talking about shooting up. I'm talking about getting on your knees and getting real with God. I'm talking about repentance and a broken spirit and a contrite heart. When you humble yourself before God, that is when you will see victory. Your mission is submission. I'm not going to respond to what the devil is doing to me. I'm not going to fall for his tricks. For unless we are not ignorant of his devices, we're not going to fall for his hatred. We're not going to fall for his division, trying to get me to talk against my brother. I'm not going to fall for the bitterness and the trauma that I've gone through. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm going to get better. I'm going to rely on God. I'm not going to fall for his spiritual judo. Instead, I'm going to flip him over and I'm going to defeat him. Let's stand. Your mission is submission. You will never win until you submit. Low center of gravity, getting low to the ground where he cannot flip you over. It's when you get arrogant, you try to get all high and lofty. That's when he's able to trip you up. That's what happened to the devil. He got high and lofty. And he fell down from the highest place there is. That's heaven. So, almost like Mission Impossible. This is your mission if you choose to accept it. Do you choose to accept submission? Submission unto what the Word of God says. Regardless of what the world is saying, regardless of how I feel, regardless of who offends me or hurts me, I'm going to do God. I'm going to do Jesus. They didn't die on a cross for me, so they have no business telling me how to live my life. I'm going to do what Jesus says. Will you finally submit? Or are you just going to allow the devil to keep flipping you, manipulating you? You're putting all of your effort and work to overcome these challenges. And the more you fight and the harder you resist, the more you're getting beaten. When the answer is submission. It's submission. That's what the church needs, is submission. If we would clothe ourselves in humility, if we would just get into the Spirit of God, and surrender everything to him, I guarantee you, you will leave here free and you will leave here changed. But if you don't and you hold on, you'll be defeated. You know, I forgot what type of monkeys these were. There's an island where they trap these monkeys. And the trap for the monkeys is a coconut. They take a coconut and they drill a hole in it. They carve a hole in it. And they put food inside of the coconut. And so the monkey reaches in to get the food out of the coconut, and when he grabs it, he can't get his hand out. The hole is big enough for his hand to fit in when his hand's like this, but when it's like this, it's no longer big enough. And the thing is, all the monkey has to do is let go of the food, and he can leave. But because the monkey is so greedy, even though he sees the people coming to trap him, he won't let go. And then the trappers come and they take the monkey. They've shown this. If he would just let go, he could just get out of there. And some of you are just like that monkey. You've reached your hand into something that you shouldn't have been touching. But you want it. I want this thing. I want that person to hurt like I hurt because they did me wrong. I want to have this position. I want to have this fame. I want to have this blessing. And you're holding on to it, and the devil's just waltzing up. The trappers don't even have to run. They can just walk up to the monkey because they know the monkey's not going to let go. And they can see him coming, but they won't let go. I hope you're smarter than a monkey. Are you going to hold on to that thing and be trapped? Are you finally going to let go and be free? Let it go. Let the hurt go. Let it go. Let the past go. Your mission is submission. These altars are open. If you want to come and get free, come on down. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You shall find rest unto your souls. Come, come. Your mission is submission. That's your mission. Your mission is submission. Submit, submit, let go, surrender. Get low to the ground as possible. Get as low as you can. The lower your center of gravity is, the harder it is for the devil to trip you up. My God. That's what happens to all these mega pastors. They get too high and lofty, too arrogant. They lose their center of gravity, and then the devil hits them, and then the church goes. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Humble yourself. Let it go. Let it go. Let your past go. Let your hurt go. Let your disappointments go. Let it all go. Everything. God, I give it to you. I surrender it to you. I release control. I give it to you. Now, come on. Come on, all over this house. Let's surrender. If we're going to be a victorious church, we've got to be a submitted church. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Come on, turn to God with all your heart. The only way you're going to beat your enemy is if you surrender to God. The only way you're going to get free from your guilt and your shame is if you surrender to God. The only way you're going to experience satisfaction and peace is if you surrender. Surrender to God right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. Let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message is in the title. Our mission is submission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's such a simple title, but it says everything. We're going to pray. But we have a special request as we close this service. For a while now, we've had someone on our prayer list who had been requesting prayer. Her name is Sister Kathy Torres. And she has a daughter who's around, I think, 11 or 12. And the situation is getting quite critical. She has, I think it's cancer, stage 4 cancer. And she has sent a message to ask for special prayer as we close the service. Hallelujah. And she's experiencing some very severe symptoms that, as we speak, of throwing up and other things. But here's what we do know. Our God is a prayer-answering God. And as we pray, all of those who have come to the altar, it doesn't take a long prayer. It just takes from the heart. It just takes from the heart. This message is from God. This message is from God. When we learn to humble ourselves and seek His face, that's what He says in 2 Chronicles. If my people that are called by my name, the first thing it says is shall humble themselves. Let us take just a few minutes here before we close to cry out to God, to humble ourselves. Hallelujah. Both for ourselves and for this young lady and for her family. Come on, let's all pray right now. Let's reach out by faith and ask God for a miracle for our church, for our situation, for Kathy and her daughter. Let's just reach out right now. Come on, let us get on one accord. The Bible says we're two or three. Hallelujah. Call in my name. Lord, we ask you, Father, right now for a miracle, for an intervention, for your word to be manifest. Lord, that we will submit to you. Oh God, that we will call you directly, that we humble ourselves, that we bow down before you. Lord, we ask right now, in your mercy, Lord God, manifest yourself in her life. Lord, for those at the altar, Lord, we ask, oh God, for renewal, for revival. Hallelujah. For a breakthrough, for our burdens to be cast down. Lord, we thank you right now. We claim victory in the name of Jesus. We claim healing. We claim deliverance by your name, by your authority, by your power, by your will, that it should be done. Healing in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift up our hands right now. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We thank you for victory. We thank you for breakthrough. We thank you for cleansing. Hallelujah. We thank you for a miracle. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just reach out just a little bit more. Let's touch the throne of heaven with our voices. Let us send our prayers. Let us, in our prayers, bring deliverance. Hallelujah. Through touching the throne of God, through reaching out by faith. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you right now, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for victory. We thank you for you are our prayer answering God. Right now, Lord, send your word, send your angel. And bring deliverance, bring instant healing. Lord God, give a testimony of victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we plead the blood, your mercy, and your grace. Let sin not have dominion. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Somebody's getting a breakthrough today. Somebody's getting their prayer answered. Somebody's being delivered. Somebody's being restored. I want you to know one thing above all things. God loves you. You think he doesn't love you, but he loves you. I want you to hear me today. God loves you. He is just waiting for you to submit to him. He's waiting for you to come back to him. He's waiting to renew you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, bring cleansing today. Bring healing today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for speaking to us. Lord, that you just want us to submit, to acknowledge you. Lord, help us, I pray this week, to walk in submission, to continue in submission. Hallelujah, that you can surround us, that you can lead us, that you can speak to us. Lord, we thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for healing, Sister Kathy and her daughter. Right now, Jesus, we believe in faith that your will be done. Lord, I pray your covering, Lord Jesus. I pray your covering. I pray your covering. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to keep us, deliver us, lift us up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you right now for victory. Hallelujah. We thank you for breakthrough. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As these continue to pray, let's give God a praise offering right now. Let's clap our hands. Give God a shout of victory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the walls of Jericho fall down. May the walls of sickness fall down. May the walls of bondage fall down. May the walls of addiction fall down. Hallelujah. May the walls of lust fall down. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 When you leave here today, expect a miracle. Expect a deliverance. Leave here today with a submitted heart. Leave here today with a made up mind. Leave here today with a commitment to continue seeking. Hallelujah. 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 Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be both majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Let everyone say amen. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. Those at the altar, if you want to keep on praying, keep on praying. Hallelujah. If you need to go, if you need to leave, that's fine too. Come on out Tuesday night. We will be having Bible study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.